Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Wednesday, April 17th, in the midst of a non-Celtics week. The non-last Celtics week until the playoffs are over. Practices are still going on. However, I just got back from practice, so we're going to talk about how the Celtics are prepping for the playoffs. Before that, a reminder, as always, leave a like on the video, on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the How About Them Celtics YouTube channel. Comment down below, send us an email, hbtcpod@gmail.com, all that good stuff. If you're listening on podcast platforms, make sure to follow us there, leave us 5 stars and a review. We'd appreciate it very, very much. First up, we're going to talk about something the Celtics have talked about at practice over the last couple days, and that is that they are studying past Celtics teams and past playoff teams in general. Bobby Manning tweeted it out, and he summarized it really well, so I'm going to pull from his. Shout out Bobby Manning, friend of the pod. Joe Mazzulla has discussed in recent weeks studying different NBA champions, how they won and the paths they took. Multiple players told me today, they talked about it at practice, they've looked at the 08 Celtics, how the Lakers bounced back in 2012, and Joe Mazzulla has been talking to Jrue Holiday about the run he made with the Bucks in 2021. Tatum talked about it at practice. He said, quote, "We looked at the 08 team, we looked at the 2010 Lakers that won the championship, and just how every path is different. The 08 team went to 2 game 7s in the first and second round. So just getting us prepared. It's not always going to go how we expected or wanted to go, but we got to be ready for it." Jrue talked about the 2008 Celtics as well. It's hard to win when you lose every road game. That's a tough to win a series when you're not winning on the road, because if you get one on the road, obviously anything can happen, but you can tell that they obviously protected home court, which is huge, but getting one on the road once in every series is cool. So it sounds like they're pulling a lot from that 08 Celtics team with Pierce, Garnett, Rondo, and Ray Allen, which is good considering that team ended up getting the job done. So it's really interesting to see how they're sort of studying getting prepped for the playoffs.
Yeah, and also the 08 team won their home games. The home games, to me, are one of the most important things going into the playoffs that this team has to take care of. Last season, the season before, they have been dog shit at home. They are sub-500. They are the only team that has played 10-plus home games in the playoffs since 2022 to have a losing record. Denver, Golden State, Philly. Yes, Philly. Winning playoff record. Miami and Phoenix. They all have winning records at home. The Celtics, they got to study that winning at home thing. And, you know, they've done a really great job of protecting home court all season. They've only lost 4 games at the Garden. But when the playoffs roll around, they need to carry it over, because the team in the past has had some brutal losses in big spots when they had home court advantage, and it did not matter. So if they took care of home court the last couple of seasons, they probably could be going for a three-peat. So study up, learn how to play at home. I like that they're kind of taking a diverse look at everything, looking at different teams, looking at different paths, seeing how they can get to where they want to be, regardless of the cards that they are dealt. One thing that Joe Mazzulla mentioned when he went on Zolak and Bertrand is he talked about the different kind of expectations that they can take in. And I know you are going to write about this, so I'll let you take this away. But the team not having any kind of thought, idea, scenario in their head of, oh yeah, we're going to go out and beat the brakes off everybody, or this is how it's going to go, is very important as they try and win a title here.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this on the show before. I feel like a lot of people heard Joe say, like, yeah, we got to be prepared to lose, we got to be prepared to do all this, and they took that and said, well, they want to lose, the Celtics team is losers. Like, that's not at all what the context is. Like, I'm going to outline this sort of perspective in the article I'm going to write for Celtics Blog. Like, look what happened to them last year. They went into the Hawks series expecting to win, especially after they won 2 at home. Then Trae Young hit a couple big shots, had a big game, hit a big shot another, and they had to go 6 in the first round against a, frankly, dog shit Hawks team that shouldn't have taken a game off of them, right? You go into the conference finals against a Miami team feeling good about themselves, and the Celtics take it for granted, go down 3-0, and then they have to fight their way back just to get it to a game seven. You can't do that. Like, that's not how things work. And so preparing for losses is different than wanting to lose. Preparing for losses means going into a series without any expectations. It is ignorant to have expectations going into series. I don't care how good you are. You have to have a balance of confidence and humility. And I think the Celtics have done a great job of doing that all season. You can see it in the fact that they had an elite home record this year. You can see it in the fact that they lost, what, 1-2 games against below 500 teams all season, right? They understood the game in front of them was nothing more than that. The game in front of them. They didn't treat it as we're playing a shit team. We're playing like this. We'll win no matter what. There was very few times they did that. And that's all we talked about in years past. Like, our entire narrative, we talked about it like ad nauseum, was this Celtics team plays down to their competition. They play down to their competition. They did that like two times this year, maybe three, all season. The rest of the season, it was take care of business. I wrote an article earlier this year called "The Celtics Are Basketball Robots," and that's what they've become. And that is the message Joe Mazzulla is sending when he said, we need to be ready for anything. Like, you look at this 08 team, and it's great to learn from them, but they didn't win a road game in the first two rounds of the playoffs. They got the job done because they won at home. So pulling that from that team is great. But like, studying them, like, in addition to studying like how they were so good at home, you should study how they could have been better on the road. Because if the Celtics in 08 had taken care of business on the road, it probably would have made their lives a little easier too. Mm-hmm. The 2010 Lakers, I'm trying to find it here as I'm pulling this up, but like the 2010 Lakers obviously won the title, unfortunately, against the Celtics eventually, but their playoff road, right? Like, they went 4-2 in the first round, 4-0 in the second round, six games in the conference finals, and then 7 against Celtics. Like, every series is going to be different things, and preparing for those series based on who the team is one thing, but looking at the team and then expecting a certain outcome is another. Like, look at the Nets game 2 years ago. I reference this all the time. Like, the Celtics were up big against this is not even a playoff game. Like, last year, Celtics up big against the Nets, expecting everything to go the same way in the second half, and then they blow a 30-point lead, right? Like, expectations lead to bad results. You need to go into the game with a game plan, follow the game plan, and not have any expectations outside of winning the game. Winning the game should be the only thing you're expecting, regardless of the opponent. Treating every game the same, regardless of the opponent, is the most important thing. And that's what the Celtics are doing. And by learning from the 08 team, you can take something from them. By learning from the 2010 Lakers, you can take something from them. By learning from the 2021 Bucks, you can learn something from them. But the most important thing at the end of the day is going into the playoffs, playing their style of basketball, and not changing it or changing their intensity based on who they're playing. Like, the Celtics need to treat the first round the same, whether they play the Heat or the Sixers or the Bulls or the Hawks. Like, they need to treat it the same way. They need to treat it as win the game in front of us because we are the better team. Because no matter which one of those teams they play, they are the better team. Like, objectively, they have been the better team all season. It doesn't matter how much of a better team you are. That can't matter to them anymore. They just need to take care of business. And I think that's what Joe and the rest of the guys are really emphasizing heading into the postseason here.
It is a great way to approach games. I mean, if you're in a playoff series, that's really all you can do is you can control the game that's in front of you. You can win one game at a time. And to this group's credit, last season they came back from 3-0 down to force a game seven. That's kind of how you go about doing that, is one game at a time. So at least some of these guys have experience being able to string wins together in a high-pressure situation. And they did it successfully. Obviously, Tatum gets hurt in the game seven, and the rest of the team didn't play very well. So even if he was healthy, who knows if they even would have won. But to get there is a very rare feat, and this group did accomplish that. Not that it's the great, don't hang a banner for it. It sucks that they lost, but they've got significant playoff experience, and they should be able to hopefully just come out and punch whoever it is in the mouth. Top goal. Set the tone right away, because these teams in the play-in, regardless if it's going to be Philadelphia or Miami, we may have a cut in here where we're like, hey, this team won, they won't play the Celtics. But they're both competitive teams. They both can realistically come up with a scenario in their heads where they would beat the Celtics. It wouldn't be a otherworldly situation if they did. If Chicago or Atlanta was to beat the Celtics, everybody would be shocked. But those two teams would have at least a puncher's chance. So you need to come out and be like, listen, this is not going to be what it was last year to either team. Win game one and send a message. that is number one right now, which goes along with what you said, afterthought.
I unmuted and remuted. I was like, oh, wait. Wait a
That's
second.
Why I said afterthought. I was like, there's no more than this. It's just,
yeah. Yeah, you just got to go into the playoffs with the mindset of we're going to play our game no matter who we're playing. You can't have expectations. Expectations are the reason the Celtics haven't won a ring yet, realistically. That is it. It's because they've gone into playoff series with ignorant mindsets of we are the better team. We're going to win no matter what. And it's the reason they didn't make the finals last year. It's the reason the Hawks series took too long. And it, for what it's worth, it's the reason they were able to sweep the Nets because they went into the series playing free. They were like, all right, we're confident in ourselves, but we're not going to take this for granted. And you could see it on the court. They locked in and they played their brand of basketball no matter who they were playing. And so that's what they need to do in this playoff run no matter what. And I think that's what Joe is really honed in on. So it's a credit to him. It's a credit to him. All right, we are here after Sixers versus Heat. Not sure where exactly in the pod this is going to be because I know you said it, but I definitely didn't mark it because I didn't even think about it. But we're here. 76ers win by a singular point. Sam and I streamed the game on playback on playback.tv/howaboutthemcelticswith Bobby Kravitsky of SI Media Group. Almost said Bobby Manning. But yeah, win for Philly. Grinded it out. Came back from down double digits against the Heat just to win the game. It was a really good game. And both teams tried their hardest to blow it. But how are you leaving that one? Knowing the Celtics don't have to play Philly. And two, about Miami, who Jimmy Butler did look a little hurt. How are you feeling from a Celtics perspective?
So, I mean, you were there. I flip-flopped.
I was there.
A billion times. I flip-flopped a billion times. Here's what I'm going to say. Neither team looked good. Miami looked better than Philly did at its best. Like, if you had to take the best from each team, I thought at their peak in that game, Miami looked better. But Jimmy might be hurt. Terry Rozier, I guess, is hurt. And they may not actually win on Friday. Because, I mean, Jimmy Butler didn't play in crunch time. And that's kind of what he does. So I don't think they would have sat him out. Miami blew a lead.
Yes, it's true. Very weird. Very odd game from both sides. It left me feeling very uninspired about both teams. I respectfully, I've been on the train of it doesn't matter who the Celtics play because I think they should beat both teams. And that game really reinforced that for me. Like, the offenses look bad. And respectfully, I'm not saying he's not a good player. If you're depending on a 20-something point game from Nick Batum to win you a game by a single point against the play-in team, I don't feel very good. Joel Embiid didn't look like Joel Embiid. Not even close. He didn't look anywhere close to Joel Embiid. And you're saying, like, all these true things, like he couldn't catch in the post, they defended him well. The Celtics have the best Embiid defender over the last 5 years on their team in Al Horford. Like, tell me, you laugh, but am I wrong?
I'm laughing at Twitter.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Take Twitter off. We're out of conversation.
Jake did nail it, Jack. Free chicken is undefeated. Did you bet?
No, I didn't end up betting. No, I should have. Well, because when I did it, it was like as free chicken was going on and they made two threes in a row. So the lines like went like back to even almost. But yeah, man, I feel fine about the Celtics playing against either of these teams. Jimmy doesn't look right. He looks hurt. He was limping off the court. You know what they say, Sam. Go Chicago. Go Atlanta. Which I don't care which one wins.
We don't know yet.
Get it done. Get it done, baby.
Right after the Sixers game, so they haven't even started yet, and it's almost 10 o'clock. Neither one of us. You might be up, but I won't.
No, I'm tired. I'm gonna eat my food and go to sleep.
So, not looking forward to the idea of having to deal with Miami. I think they will be annoying. I don't know if they would beat the Celtics, but they would be more annoying than the other options. But less annoying than Philly. If you put a gun to my head and said the Celtics have to lose, I would rather they lose to Miami than Philly.
You would rather the Celtics lose.
And people would be like, Miami owns them. But this is how my brain has worked all week.
Would rather them lose.
Who would I want them to lose to?
Your confidence levels are off the charts, brother.
No, they're not. They're below the charts.
That was sarcasm. You fuck. You moron. You're telling me that game doesn't leave you feeling good about the Celtics' chances against either of those teams?
I don't know.
Dude. How do you watch that game and like, we have different brains.
The Celtics weren't in it. I don't know how to like respond to what I see on a basketball court if the Celtics aren't in the game.
They took shit.
The guy that said I was stupid in the comments last week is like pumping his fist.
Did either of them shoot above 40, like 2% from the field? Like,
defensive slugfest. Miami defensive. They missed a million shots. Times.
Like, I didn't like
Miami
42,
turning over
42.
Philly at that rate was kind of alarming had, to me
Philly
when it was
13. Philly had
they had 10 turnovers. In the first half.
Yeah, then they had 5 in the second half. I don't know. I didn't feel inspired. There were some things both teams did defensively that were just good, yes, but I looked at that game and thought, wow, this offense sucks rather than wow. I mean, Tobias Harris, like, as much as I was defending him, like, he fucking airballed a shot above the rim. That's not good defense. That's you suck. Like, come on. I have no faith in either of these teams. I think the Celtics should beat them both in 5 or less, maybe 6 if they get lucky for a game because anything can happen. But I feel fine. This game left me wholly uninspired about both their ability to beat the Celtics in the game. I stand on that.
All right. Well, we'll see on Friday.
We will see.
Well, we want to give you guys a little bit of a, hey, this is what happened.
See, we'll have more of this on Friday after that. We know who the Celtics are playing, obviously. But yeah, cool. We'll see you guys for the rest of the pod. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats and watch all the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. One of our favorite picks here at the How About Them Celtics podcast is the Jrue Holiday blocks. It's usually 0.5. He just needs more than 0.5 blocks. That means one Jrue Holiday block. And that pick is in the bag. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Next thing we got. Celtics legend Blake Griffin has retired from the sport of basketball. He announced it on Tuesday afternoon. He's had some kind words come out from Al Horford calling him a Hall of Fame player. Joe told a cool story about how when they, you know, when he wasn't in the rotation anymore, he came up to Joe and said, hey, how can I get better? How can I get more minutes? Which is he defined as like pretty cool for a veteran like him to come up to a first year head coach and talk about that. Just high praise all around. I know you wrote about how the Celtics had sort of an open offer for him to join the team whenever he wanted, but it sounds like he's really enjoying retirement. It sounds like he's enjoying spending time with his family, but Blake's the GOAT, man. Shout out Blake Griffin. Hopefully he enjoys his retirement.
Yeah, he talked a lot about the Celtics today when he hopped on Part of My Take. It was a really entertaining interview. And he was talking about, one, the fact that he did, in fact, have an open offer to come back to the Celtics all season, something that I think everybody kind of thought, but now it's been confirmed to where if he decided he wanted to play basketball again, he absolutely could have came back. Two, had he decided to come back, he would have only played for the Celtics, is what he said. He said, if I was going to play anywhere, it would be Boston. He cited reasoning, just he's not mentally in it anymore. He doesn't feel like he would give the team what that he should be giving them if he was playing for them, taking a roster spot. But he did say he's pulling for him in the postseason, thinks they have a good group and thinks they might be able to get it done. And then he wrapped by just once again, kind of shouting out the organization, being like, this is a class organization. Brad is class. The players are class. All love to them. So it was a nice PR spot, at least for the Celtics, where I love personally when a player will come out after having joined the team, not being drafted here, being like, wow, it is really nice. It's different. So shout out to Blake Griffin. I hope he's enjoying retirement. But yeah, I thought he had some good praise for the team.
Shout out Blake. That's the extent of it. I mean, we don't have to go too much into detail, but Blake Griffin retiring, wish he was a Celtic still. We all wish him, but hope he has a good time. Next thing is, speaking of Celtics practices have supposedly been brutal. Like, Joe's gone all in on running these guys, going hard. We heard it on Tuesday. They were pumping crowd noise and like the TD Garden Jumbotron sounds like da 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 da, like the chanting music going in. They blast that throughout the Auerbach Center when they're practicing. So these guys are ready for everything. Jrue Holiday had a quote about it. I wish I could find it. I'll find it while you're talking. But he talked about how they did a whole drill for a bunch of, like a little while at yesterday's practice to start, where they weren't allowed to dribble. They just had to play up and down the court, and it was apparently like impossible for them. And so they are locked in. Jalen talked about it after they lost to the Knicks, how they're going to have some hard practices before the playoffs. And it sounds like they are in fact doing just that, which is good. Good for them for getting prepared.
Yeah, I know Horford talked about the difficulty of the practices yesterday. You were there, obviously, so you know, too. I don't need to tell you. But he discussed how yesterday's practice was probably the hardest practice, harder than training camp. They did a ton of cardio, so they're trying to make sure they're all in shape. And I think he said today was more mental. So Joe's kind of throwing them different pitches at practice, making them train themselves in different ways and get prepared for everything, which kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, where you have to be ready for everything. You have to have no expectations. You have to be able to adjust to whatever the playoffs throw at you. And Joe Mazzulla is all in on making these guys just do everything. He's a psychopath. I don't think I've ever heard, before he was the coach, anybody just playing arena music during practice, blasting crowd noise into the gym, trying to simulate game situations as much as possible. And Joe has been, to his credit, excellent with trying to prepare the guys for as much as he can. It sounds like everybody's enjoying the week of practice, despite it being hard. Like, all the stuff I've seen is positive. They sound like they're getting locked in. And this is a team where you can actually believe what they have to say, instead of last year where it's like, well, we better. And then they do the same shit. So they are definitely a big growth team.
Definitely. Drew talked about how Joe's throwing like crazy drills at him. And I went to double check just so I didn't misspeak. He said, we had a full court, no dribbling for 2-3 minutes. That was one of the first drills we did. And I don't think we expected a lot of the stuff yesterday. It was definitely trying to get there, like wind under them, learning how to play with each other without dribbling. So Joe's just, he's fucking psycho. What do you expect from this guy? Like, come on, man.
He's awesome. That man loves some psychopathic basketball. Go ahead.
No, I was just like, I just don't get why people don't like him. Like, this is what Celtics fans like itch for with the coach, like just the psycho, right, who's running the guys and preaching the right stuff. But I don't get it.
When the Ime thing happened, people wanted KG to coach the team. Like, legitimately, yeah, there were people.
This is
like,
probably the coach you get.
Yeah, you have Rhode Island 6'1" KG. That's who you have as your coach. Where Joe went to high school, so in Rhode Island, I don't know if they have the same thing in Massachusetts, Jack, but they have varsity sports, junior varsity, and then they have the freshman team. So yeah, you can play freshman football, freshman basketball, whatever. Hendricken, where he went to school, the whole thing with their freshman team is they play entire games. They don't dribble. They're not allowed to dribble.
That's not allowed to dribble?
No. They win games from like moving the ball, cutting, doing all the things to create baskets without actually having to drive and dribble. So very interesting strategy. Very interesting that he brought it back to practice. I don't think Joe actually played freshman basketball. I think he was someone that played varsity right away.
I bet that's where he got it.
I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah.
Joe taking freshman high school basketball tactics and bringing it to the NBA is all-time shit. I love that. That's awesome. Next piece of Celtics news is...
Expectations, Oliver of Celtics blog to the Slack. Joe, we have no expectations. Me, correct. We have demands. I agree. Good take.
Next thing, two Celtics have made Team USA. The team has announced their official roster. Jason Tatum and Jrue Holiday will be participating in the Olympics this summer, along with LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Tyrese Haliburton, Anthony Edwards, and Kawhi Leonard, making up the final 12th spot on the team. This really is we're bringing the Avengers. Fuck you guys. We're taking this seriously. I don't think there's a single player like like Jaylen Brown, I guess, Jalen Brunson. Like, I'm trying to think of players they left off that could have been on the team, but this is like, this is the squad. Like, this is what you were expecting when they were like, all right, we're bringing all the best players to where's the Olympics? Is Paris?
Paris.
They're going hard. They're going hard this summer, man.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron called up all the boys and was like, let's all go play, even though I haven't played for USA in what, 8 years, 2 Olympics it's been since he decided he wanted to play on this team.
It's not like he's the only one. Like, let's not make this LeBron thing.
No. It definitely is like other people too. I just think there have been guys that have earned a spot, like having played through the last Olympics, playing at FIBA, like doing all of the legwork recently. If I was one of those guys, I'd low key be a little bit pissed. But it's fun that there's 2 Celtics on the team. Who doesn't love that?
Yes, sir.
Something we'll have Jack to do. Content for us.
I was just gonna say content. Also, you know what's gonna be better content when Peyton Pritchard's on the select team again, just cooking these guys. Yeah. Peyton Pritchard cooks LeBron James is gonna feed families this summer. Don't worry about it.
I'm currently on Twitter looking at Kawhi getting his USA basketball jersey.
Doesn't care.
He does not care.
Doesn't care.
Respect. I don't care either. Good job, Kawhi.
We're Grant alive. Hill. Grant Hill came to Boston to give the jerseys to Tatum and Drew as well, which was fun. Drew Holiday was obviously very taken off guard. He points at his wife, Lauren Holiday, and just goes, "What the fuck is this? You didn't tell me this is happening." So it's fun that they got their jerseys, all that cool stuff. I'm excited.
I love the video of Tatum. Because Grant Hill knocks on his door and Tatum answers the door.
Yeah.
Do you really think Tatum's answering the door at his house? I don't. If someone knocks on my door, unless like I'm told somebody's coming, like I'm like looking and like, why are you at my house?
Well, you got to imagine Tatum has like something in his kitchen or something that shows him who is at the door.
So that's what Michael Hilly said on Twitter. Because I was like, are we sure? Do we really think Tatum's the one like, opening the door at his house? He was like, well, if he has like a gate in front of his house, then yeah,
absolutely probably. He definitely has like a ring camera, so he could saw who was like, all right, let me go check this out. Grant Hill in the video goes, you take a while, huh? He says, you take a while to answer your door there, don't you? Good for Tatum and Drew. This is probably the best possible team USA could have assembled. I'm trying to think, like, I think they got it. I'm surprised Kawhi said yes. I don't know. Like, that is shocking to me. I didn't think he'd say yes. Do we think Tatum starts?
Probably not.
I'm like looking through.
Steph, LeBron, Davis for sure. Embiid. Who's the last? Maybe Tatum's the last guy.
Tatum, yeah. Steph, LeBron, KD, Embiid, Tatum is probably what I'd guess. That'd be a very tall lineup, but. Maybe they put Book in there instead of Tatum. But Tatum, like, even since the last Olympics, the consensus has been like, yeah, Tatum's the next guy. So it wouldn't surprise me if they let him start. Because he was, like, the second leading scorer in that team behind KD. So that I'd buy it. But anyways, good for them. We can jump over to the emails here. Reminder, as always, comment what's popping for a chance to win a $10 Incognito gift card. But let's see what y'all have to say. Nobody commented what's popping this time. So no wheel for you. You guys don't deserve it. I don't know how many emails we have. I am checking live.
RJ sent at least one.
So we do, in fact, have some emails. We have one from RJ. Nice, easy email section. Pods are going to be short this week. When we get back to the playoffs, don't worry. You'll get the probably get the heaters again. But from RJ, here we go. Let me change the background. All right. RJ says, what's popping? Chill, honey bunny. Good morning, guys. The week between ending the regular season as the one seed and the Celtics' first playoff game, it's that special time that can mean only one thing. All of the Celtics fandom loses its goddamn mind. I thought as a lifelong Cub fan, I'd seen people who could find the cloud in any silver lining, but modern Celtics fandom is amazing. About the only theory I haven't seen floated so far is that aliens will come down and abduct Jason Tatum. Oh, wait, it's only Wednesday as I write this. Extraterrestrial probes is more of a Friday thing. Everyone just take a deep breath and for the love of all that is good and pure in life, chill the F out. Be well, RJ. There has been a lot of panic, even though literally nothing has happened.
it is a panic guy number one right here.
I just don't get it. Like, I can understand being worried, but like, give him a chance first. Like, let him at least know who they're playing before you panic. Like, come
on. It's just like, I hate that there's a weird... They're the best team in the league, but might have to play the second best team in the conference right away. it just feels like they are getting screwed because they had the best record, and I hate that.
But would you rather have to play, like, if anything, I'd say this is better, because I'd rather have them play Philly in the first round than the conference finals. Like, get them while Embiid's still maybe recovering a little bit. Get them while, like, fresh legs. Get them, like, after they just had to play a couple play-in games. Don't get them after they're feeling good about themselves after winning two. If Philly did end up making it to the conference finals, like, let's not forget Embiid has literally never been there in his life. So,
and then it's starting to creep back, Jack, where it's just like, can they really just beat Philly every year? Feels like they're going to have to lose eventually.
Why?
Just law of averages, like water finds its level.
This isn't since
1982.
It's not law of averages. That's the Celtics have always been better. Like, that is all it is. It's better.
I don't know.
Better team.
I don't know. It's going to be very tough 2 months for me.
I don't get it.
I'm going to be bald by the end of the playoffs. I'll lose all my hair.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's jump over. I think we're going to skip the NBA check-in because there's not much to check in past the actual games that we're going to be checking in with. So let's start there. We'll start with the first play-in game. The Pelicans could not take care of business against the Lakers, which may be better for us, maybe worse for us. We watched the game with Jake Eisenberg of First of the Floor live, and we watched we watched Zion get hurt, and we watched the Pelicans' chances of winning go out the window. It was a great game, to the Pelicans' credit. They kept up with the Lakers. They made a big-time comeback, but they couldn't get the job done because Zion got hurt. And you could tell he was mad about getting hurt, and he had been playing really well before that. He had, I think, 40 points in that game, but now he's not going to even play in the next game, which is going to be against the Kings, which we'll talk about in a second. But just as much as you have given Zion shit, this was the first season he was, like, truly fully healthy. This is a horrendous way for their season to potentially end. Like, that just sucks.
Yeah, it sucks for Zion. I mean, what a game he had. I was, like, making fun of him in the playback, but he was getting to his left hand. He was getting everything he wanted against the Lakers, even with Anthony Davis sitting at the rim. So him coming up limp, hurting his hamstring with, like, 2 minutes left, kind of fucked him. Yeah, not a hot take. The Lakers were kind of reeling. New Orleans had climbed all the way back. I think they were down 20 at one point, and they had tied the game. I don't think they ever took a lead, but they had tied it, and then he gets hurt, and then the Lakers pull away, and then Reggie Miller says maybe Anthony Davis should miss the free throw, even though they're up three going to go up four if he makes it with like 2 seconds to play. Yeah, close game, ended kind of boring because the best guy got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. Dude, Jose Alvarado was cooking the Lakers. He had them in a chokehold.
Do we have an update on him? He got hurt more than anybody. He was taking a beating out there.
I think he's okay. He finished the game for him, so I think he's all right. But yeah, it was so foul that they kept panning to Brandon Ingram on the bench, just sad.
I'm not convinced he should have been sitting when Zion got hurt. I agree, he wasn't good. Like, when Zion was in, Zion was able to create. He was able to put pressure on the defense. But when Zion went out, they had nobody to do that.
Well, yeah, but Ingram just wasn't very good the whole night. Like, he was just kind of ass the whole time. Like, it was 4-12, I think, when they had him in there. And that's not going to get it done. Like, that's just frankly not going to get the job. Yeah,
CJ,
they couldn't
was
do
ass
shit
too.
Zion carried them, man. He had 40 of their, what, like 90? Like, he had half their points. Like, come on. Somebody needed to help that guy. If Larry Nance is your option in the corner shooting threes, something's going wrong. Respectfully, sorry, Larry Nance. It's a tough break. On the other side of the West, the Warriors just, they sucked. They choked, man. Steph was bad. Draymond was bad. Klay had zero fucking points. Zero. Zero. King steamrolled him.
Keegan Murray had 30-something,
but that was embarrassing.
So my favorite storyline from this game was when we were doing playback, I was on Twitter and I saw Big Cat tweet. Let me find verbatim what he said in this tweet because it was hysterical to me. If the damn DM would load. So Big Cat tweets, I have a last second feel it in my plums missile play based on vibes only. Clay over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He's going to fire. Clay finishes, like you said, 0 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist, 0 of 10 from the field.
He did fire. He was firing.
Oh, man.
He just wasn't making.
And then Clay after the game. Did you see this clip of him as they were walking off the floor? He kind of stopped and like took it all in as if he wasn't ever going to play in the Sacramento arena again. It's not like they're at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, he stopped to take it all in. So maybe there's feeling he won't be back.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, realistically, for as shit as the season ended for Golden State, they do have a pretty solid future in front of them. Like Kuminga's nasty, Pajemski's really good. Moses Moody has shown some stuff. You still have Steph for a little bit. You can trade Wiggins if you want for something. You have Trace Jackson Davis, who had a solid rookie season. Like they have set themselves up pretty well moving forward, especially considering how poorly the Jordan Poole thing went. It's just going to be so interesting to see how they handle it. The Kings, meanwhile, 32 from Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis 16, 12, and 7. De'Aaron Fox was killing them too. He was just getting whatever he wanted, driving to the hoop. Like, you're just not going to win the game when the Kings outshoot you from three and they get 18 more shots off of 15 offensive rebounds and the Warriors turn the ball over 16 times. Like, the Warriors are just a mess. Like, they were done.
Adam Silver has to be in shambles.
Kings Pelicans in the playoffs, man.
Kings Pelicans playing game that nobody but Kings Pelicans and Thunder fans will probably watch.
I don't know. I think if the Pelicans get in the playoffs, I think Zion can draw some ratings. But he's out for 2 weeks, so he probably wouldn't even play for most of that first round series.
That's a mess. But I'm just talking about from Friday's standpoint. Like, Zion's not playing that game. I don't give a fuck about the Kings.
That play-in game's gonna suck. You're right.
If Golden State was in that game, you would have like the Curry factor where it's like, oh, watch out for Steph. Like, we all want to see Steph.
I suppose, yeah. The East play-in is gonna be pretty boring too. Like, you'll have the Heat or Sixers star power, but no one cares about the Bulls or Hawks. That's even half. It's ugly. Very ugly. All right. Next thing. Jonte Porter, man. Banned from the NBA. Did you read all of this shit? Like, did you read all the stuff that came out about Jonte Porter?
So I skimmed it / saw all the memes. Mm-hmm.
Henry's calling me. Sorry.
You want to pause? Yeah, we'll just pause?
No. Keep going. No, I'm going to text him. You're good. Keep going.
Okay. So Jonte Porter, if you don't know, was under investigation for gambling on basketball. And, it seems as if they found plenty of evidence confirming that he was, in fact, betting on his own NBA games. Jonte Porter, Woj tweeted, most damning for Porter in the NBA itself, he bet the Raptors to lose.
Man. Like,
you have several tabs on here, so I'll let you kind of go through it, but just an electric development on East play-in day.
Dude, this is the ultimate how fucking stupid can you be? Like that is all this is. We were talking to John Corrales at practice, and he was just like, this is the most moronic shit I've ever seen. The biggest one for me, I know betting on the Raptors to lose, like, you're fucked. Like, you're done.
No, he's sharp, actually, because they lost 15 in a row. He was on the ball.
The biggest one for me was he told his friend, like, stuff about him being hurt and him being like, oh, yeah, you know, I might be injured here. This is going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. And his friend put an $80,000 parlay on to win $1.1 million. Like, that is not, oh, I might get banned from the NBA. That is, you're going to get fucking criminal fraud charges. Like, you're going to jail. Like, that is not, like, you can't, that is the definition of fraud. That is what fraud is. You frauded. Like, what are we doing?
it's just like, not for nothing, Jontay Porter, with all due respect, nobody's out there like sitting betting your lines, right? It's not like he's LeBron and there's probably a ton of action on LeBron's numbers every single game, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a sizable wager on Jontay Porter, you don't think there's going to be a little bit of a alert from whatever book you're betting on? I think they might be like, huh, I wonder who has that much money to be that interested in Jontay Porter and to think he's going to be worse and to bet against him. I wonder who. It's a lot of money to bet on a guy not getting over half a point.
It's so fucked. It's yeah. He disclosed confidential information about his health to an NBA bettor who placed an 80K parlay to win 1.1 million wagering that Porter would underperform in a March 20th game. From January to March 2024, while traveling with the Raptors or Raptors 905, Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. They range in size from $15 to $22,000 for a total of $54,094. The total payout was from these bets was $76K, resulting in net winnings of $21,000.
$21,000?
That was worth it? That was worth it. Dude. That... Holy shit. I mean,
this is going to sound stupid. And I know there are things that make this like you shouldn't do it. But if you're not betting on your own games, I'm not really convinced it's that bad of a problem.
You can't. It's just, it opens the door for questioning. It opens the door for what else is going on. Like, you've got to set a hard line somewhere. And you can't bet on the Raptors to lose. Like, that is the ultimate, like, how dumb are you?
Man,
like,
man got banned from the NBA for being sharp. Well, sad.
The part of it that I saw somewhere that I forget where is that a lot of these bets, like the location of the bets being placed that he like advised were in Colorado, which is like, hey, Michael, what you doing, Michael? Your yeah, brother definitely. Here is what's going on? What a mess, man. Jontay, this it's just the ultimate. Like, are you a fucking moron? Like, come on, man. And what a guy. Anyways, let's see. Next thing, what are you laughing at?
Just laughing at this situation. It's hilarious. Anytime somebody does something ridiculously stupid and gets in trouble for it, it's funny.
What an idiot.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Next thing, Chris Paul is not retiring. He's not fucking leaving. This came out after the game. I'm trying to find the source. Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Quote from Paul to Slater. I'll talk to my wife and kids, my family, my support system, see what it looks like. But this isn't the end. I know that for sure.
Isn't he a free agent?
I don't. Yes, I think he will be. That minimum. They could end up trying to like trade him because I think they have a team option. It's just non-guaranteed, so effectively they do.
They can waive his ass.
They literally could. Chris Paul doesn't want to be done. Chris Paul, who played all right this season, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 44-37 splits, 26 minutes a night. He's like still a productive player, but he's not done. He's not done, Sam.
Sick. Fuck Chris Paul. No reason in particular. Just, I don't know. It feels like he should hang it up. It's one of those things where he doesn't want to play too long and then have a shitty, shitty end to his career. Like, it's one of those things when we talk about Isaiah Thomas maybe coming back to the Celtics and we're like, well, if he came back here, would it be fun? Yeah, probably, but it would kind of step on the memory everybody has of him here playing with the Celtics and being a legend. Chris Paul's a little different. The decline has been somewhat steep, but he's still solid. But again, quit while you're ahead. I don't really know. Maybe he wants to really win a championship. Golden State's not close.
I think he just likes playing. I think he just likes basketball.
You can also like playing. That's facts. Yeah, that is how a lot of these guys make it to the NBA, especially when you're 6 feet like Chris Paul. You have to really love the game. So I would say that makes a ton of sense.
I think he just wants to be there, which fair enough, right? Like if there's a team there willing to pay you money and willing to employ you and have you play ball, then fuck it. Like I'd want to keep playing too. I'd want to play for as long as I can. Fuck it. Like that's just the mindset some people have, and I guess that's the mindset he has. I am looking at like when you pull up Basketball Reference now, it shows you like awards, and it's crazy. 2 years ago, or almost three, that Chris Paul finished top 10 in MVP voting. 2 years ago. What the fuck are we doing?
That is a crazy stat, or just fact, I guess. It's not technically a stat, but
his first year in Phoenix, he finished fifth. He got two first place votes for MVP. He had the third most first place MVP votes in the NBA.
It's kind of unbelievable. I would never have guessed that.
He averaged 16-9-5 on 50-40 splits.
Congrats to him for being in the conversation.
He was, in fact, in the
hang
conversation.
Hang the banner.
I do love this new tab on ESPN, though. This is very fun.
What is it?
It's like, well, not a tab, but it's like on their player page, it shows you the awards now. So it like just shows you this.
Oh, it's, I mean, mm-hmm.
You see awards ESPN, right here?
This is basketball.
Basketball reference. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. This basketball reference thing. Like it just shows you year to year.
Facts.
Big, huge, big dub.
It's so much better than having to scroll to the fucking
exactly
thing where it has all of the facts all stacked up. It sucks.
100%. Next thing, speaking of CP3 and the Warriors, there is a chance, Sam, that they might cut him. This is from some notes on Wiggins and CP3. We'll start with CP3 since you were just there. The Ringer's Logan Murdoch said that league sources identified him as a, quote, a key player in the Warriors offseason because of the chances that he could be traded or cut. Obviously, if the Warriors could find a trade for Chris Paul, that would probably benefit them more because that is, I mean, we talked about it with Lowry as like good matching salary. Like they have matching salary for a trade. It's if true. They want to get something done. They do have some picks they can trade. They do have some young pieces they could throw in. So like they could go after somebody to pair with Curry if they want to make one more run, two more runs.
Spurs.
But like they don't want, like what would you trade for in San Antonio? Like what would the Warriors want?
Maybe not trade, but if he gets waived, Spurs.
I don't hate him for the Spurs. I don't hate him for
putting a point guard on the Spurs. Let him run pick and roll with Wemby.
I don't know. That could be interesting. But the Wiggins thing, I think, is more interesting. I'm pulling this from Bleacher Report article, so thank you. It says, as the Warriors look to
Wiggins, man. As man the Warriors showed up for a week in June 2 years ago.
As the Warriors look to find answers after a disappointing end to the season with the loss to the Kings, Andrew Wiggins' future with the organization figures to be a major focus. ESPN Zach Lowe, according to him, rivals teams would likely ask the Warriors to include additional asset in any potential trade offer for Wiggins since he's still owed $90 million over the next three seasons. Logan Murdoch of The Ringer reported the belief is Wiggins will be shopped in trade talks during the summer, especially since his role in the Warriors has been, quote, made somewhat redundant thanks to Kuminga emerging as a key player. Sounds like that entire offseason of extensions of Poole and Wiggins is just an L, just a massive L.
I mean, if you really think about it, this is all the Celtics' fault. Mm. If they won the fucking finals and played for real, maybe the Warriors wouldn't have paid both these guys a ton of money. maybe Andrew Wiggins doesn't get a massive contract extension. Maybe Jordan Poole doesn't get a crazy contract after his rookie deal.
Now the Warriors are fucked because of it, though. So the Celtics ended the Warriors, kind of.
I can't believe fucking the Celtics lost to Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole in the finals, man.
If you are an opposing team, though, like, do you see a world where you can help rehash Wiggins' value? Because, like, you've clearly seen that he can be a good player. Well, like,
here's the problem with Wiggins is he's had a lot of family stuff going on over the last two seasons, and he's had to miss extended periods of time. So even if you do believe in him as a basketball player, his, I don't want to say commitment, but the best availability is, or best ability is availability. And if he's not able to play, then you really can't get anything out of him. If he's going to have to miss extended periods of time, you're not going to be able to get him in shape. He's not going to get into a rhythm, and you're not going to get the most out of him. There's nothing wrong with him wanting to be with his family if there's something going on, sure. But if you're another team, that's something that crosses your mind. Like when you have that $90 million figure hanging over your head and you're making a trade and you're like, okay, we'll sit with this. Who would do that? Detroit?
I don't know. He played in 70. He played in 71 games this year, so it's not like he was out for a large portion of the season. But like, I don't know, man. Like, if you're the Pacers, do you try? Like, do you say, hey, we'll figure something out. Like, we'll give you matching salary and try to bring him in here. Or if you're like,
he has Chicago written all over him.
Why?
Just because it's just commitment to mediocrity. That's what it is. If I had to like pick a wing of the NBA for Wiggins to end up in, like, category of team, it is team on the decline that wants to start a rebuild, because you can get assets back on top of his contract. You'll be doing the Warriors a favor by eating that $90 million so they can get a little bit of extra room here with Steph Curry entering his twilight. Not to say he's washed or anything, but they only have so many years of Steph Curry carrying them left. Mm-hmm. And you saw this year, it didn't even work. So you want to make sure you optimize his time with you. One, to benefit your team, you want to win as much as you can, but also to say thank you to him for the career he's had and all the things he's done for the Warriors and all that. So I could see Wiggins ending up on a Chicago, Toronto, Atlanta.
Now, if you're both sides, would you do Chris Paul and Wiggins for LaVine and Caruso and multiple picks going back to Chicago in that deal? I'd say,
I think it would depend on the picks, because you're not going to get a whole lot out of Chris Paul. Well, here's the thing. If you're giving up LaVine and you're looking at the Bulls team that is the Bulls team right now, LaVine is basically you give up nothing. So you have to keep that in mind when
I would argue
the Chicago point of view.
The way I think of it is, you're getting, for the Warriors, the best thing you get back is Caruso, because they've been looking at Caruso for a long time.
Correct.
And so you're paying a first for Caruso, and then like you're effectively almost paying two firsts for Caruso. And you are paying Wiggins and Chris Paul, Wiggins whose salary you can get off of. But then again, LaVine is a larger salary. So maybe you don't want to get off that, but like part of that would be like, okay, but we're getting Caruso too. So like maybe that is something to look at. It's not worth it. Maybe you do, instead of LaVine, you do Vucevic and Caruso for Chris Paul, Wiggins in a first. But then again, then the Bulls would take back too much money. Like a lot will go into it, but I think the Bulls could make some sense with the pieces they have. For Wiggins, maybe you send him to Toronto, because you talk about mediocrity. They're committed to that bit more than anybody else. And he's from there. So there's that. But I don't know. Maybe the Bucks want to rebuild the value. Maybe they're like, okay, here's Pat Connaught and some other players and bullshit. Like,
yeah, like
you want to rehab value.
If it blows up in their face, yeah.
At the very least, they need some defense, right? Like, he would definitely help them on defense for his shit as he has been at times. I don't know.
It's an interesting point.
It's weird. Anyways, that's all I got. You want to get into the Rattlers here? This is gonna be a shorter pod just because there's literally not much to talk about. But it is what it is.
Yeah, we can do the rat list.
What you got?
Rat list is, I have a rat list I'm not going to say. You probably know what it is.
I don't know if I do. You can tell me after, and I'm being stupid.
I'll tell you after. You know, I really don't have anything like off the top of my head. You're gonna have to go first.
I'll go first. I don't have much. Our rat list, as much as she hates it, I told her she's getting the rat list. My mom yesterday. So my dog Charlie had a vet appointment, and my other dog Duke doesn't like it when she leaves. Like, he's like, he like freaks out because he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't understand, right? Obviously, he's like, where'd she go? Is it like, where's Charlie? And so my mom comes in my room as like I'm working. She goes, Charlie's no longer with us. Can you come help me? And I like, I see your face, Sam. I went into a panic. I almost started crying. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, what do you mean no longer with us? Like, what do you hear when you hear that, Sam? Tell me.
I mean, I say that as a joke when I'm like,
but it sounds like
I think I said Justin is no longer with us yesterday, or Cam was no longer with us on the stream.
Because it sounds like she's fucking dead. Like, it sounds sure like does. She's dead. And I go, what? And I like almost start to cry. She goes, yeah, she went to the vet. Duke's freaking out because she's gone. I'm like, what do you mean she went to the vet and she's gone? She's like, she's at an appointment. I'm like, Mom, you can't say Charlie went to the vet, she's no longer with us, and not expect me to put the pieces together of she's fucking dead. I was like, bro. And she was like, and I think she was, ironically, she was mad at me because she thought I put her on the rat list. And so she did this on purpose, I think, to fuck with me after I put her on the rat list. So now you're actually getting on the rat list for saying that to me because I panicked. That was it's fucked up, man. Not, I don't like that at all.
All right, couple quick Celtics things. One, playoff schedule is out. Game one Sunday at 1 p.m.
We forgot about
game
that.
Two Wednesday at 7 p.m. Game three Friday at 5:30.
I'll look it up. Yeah.
Oh no, Saturday at 6.
6. Yeah.
So they space these fucking games out as far apart as possible. Ratless for that. However, they space the games out to where I avoided all conflict. That's right. I had a couple girlfriend activities lined up on the 28th and 30th, and I'll tell you what, those are off days. That's right. That is right. I nailed it, but I do completely expect to get railroaded on May 10th, where there is another girlfriend activity, and that will be a second round game, just one that will not be watched. Second piece of Celtics thing.
Yeah.
Celtics assistant Charles Lee is viewed as the favorite to become the Hornets head coach per Rod Boone.
There you go. Makes sense. I mean, get an opportunity, but I can't imagine he felt inspired after watching the Hornets getting shit on by the Celtics in their last game. I will rat list the Celtics playoff schedule as well, because I had plans on the 27th, plans that I will not get to fulfill because the Celtics play, and plans that I won't really be able to do again until next year. I was going to go see Lionel Messi play at Gillette Stadium.
And oh, that I sucks.
Can no longer go.
Yeah, because you're going. You're going wherever the Celtics will be.
And that would have been, like, very cool to see fucking Messi play in person. Are you kidding? But no. The Celtics said, psych, we're scheduling our playoffs like this, and you're fucked, buddy. Get shit on. So I, unfortunately, am not going to get to see Messi, which sucks because, like I said, that would have been fucking really cool. So.
Well, maybe you'll get to go somewhere where the weather's nice. Like
here, I would rather go to Philadelphia from a selfish perspective of not having to fly, but we shall see.
Well, I think you go fuck yourself, because I would like to see them play the easiest. I hope you have to go to fucking Chicago, prick. How about that?
I don't mind Chicago.
Maybe you.
I don't mind Miami, but
you run into big.
Probably
go to the games if they play the Celtics.
You see, just tweeted a couple hours ago, Dan Hurley's going on the JJ Redick pod.
Yes, cool. I did. I told you how when Noah and I were at the main Celtics game that there was this guy sitting in the front row that looked like Hurley to me.
It was not Dan, you told me this.
But he looked just like Dan Hurley.
You told me. That's very fun. Man. I really don't have anything else. I feel bad that this is going to be a short pod, but I don't got anything. Do you see Caitlin Clark did the SNL skit?
I saw it. I didn't watch any of it.
I watched some of it, and apparently she apparently just like fucked with them the whole time, which is very cool. But I'm like trying to rack my brain of like what's happened in the past few days, and I really have got nothing. The Celtics jerked us around on Tuesday practice. Like we got there 10:30, Brad spoke, and we didn't get down for practice for like 3 hours, which was
also
annoying.
Ratless the Celtics. They fucked us today on talking C's.
Yeah, practice. They moved
because they were like, yeah, surprise, practice.
Well, again. They moved Friday's practice, or they have practice every day, but or most days, but they moved Friday's media availability to today for whatever reason. So
yeah, rat list.
Stuff. Well, rat we are going to do a playback stream instead, though, which is fun. I'm actually excited.
Rat list, the big blue bug. Are you familiar with the big blue bug, Jack?
I am, yeah.
So the big blue bug is now sporting a sign
that
says slow down for work zones with the Rhode Island Department of Transportation logo on it.
What the fuck?
Now, I don't know if you know this about the Rhode Island Department of Transportation, but they are the devil. Worst people ever. They're fucking around with this bridge, which I can't get enough of. And now they have taken over the big blue bug and made him, or no, Nibbles is a male bug. They have made him a shill.
I love the big blue bug. The big blue bug, he's always been a shill. Look, he's always had ads on him.
He has always had ads. He had the mask on. Shill. Political
he's
shill.
Always a shill. Shout out the big blue bug. I love the big blue bug. I remember.
I didn't know about the mask then. That's so funny that you pulled it up. Where is it exactly? Providence. It's right off 95. So if you're on the southern side of Providence, you will see Nibbles hanging out there. Big blue bug, by the name? Way, follows me on Twitter. Yeah.
Its name is Nibbles. Big Blue Bug has a Twitter account.
Sure does. At Big Blue Bug.
Big Blue Bug. I'm going to follow it. I want the follow. Big Blue Bug. Oh my God. That's
Big
sick.
Big Blue Bug followed me first.
I love Don't that. Worry about it. What the fuck? I always, what's it called? I always drove by it when we went to the beach when I was a kid because we went to the beach down in Rhode Island. I forget which beach, but.
Probably Narragansett if you're going that way.
I think so, yeah.
Otherwise, you'd take 2024 down in Newport.
Yeah, I think, whatever. Yeah. I think you're there, Gansett. Shout out Big Blue Bug. I haven't thought about that in years. Oh my God.
Yeah, everybody in Rhode Island knows about the bug.
The bug. Anyways, that's all I got. You got anything else? Oh, last thing. Ratless my fucking arm. I'm sorry. I love my job. I'm very lucky to do my job. This is the stupidest fucking thing I could possibly complain about. Holding your arm out like this with a fucking microphone and shit for 10 minutes sucks ass. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care if you're in shape. I don't care if you run. I don't care, whatever. Holding your arm like this is like doing a fucking plank, and it's not fun, especially when I have to hold the cameraman's microphone. I was dying. These guys talk for too fucking long.
You were the mic holder today, Jack?
Yeah, I grabbed the mic for this guy who was like filming. It's just, and like I said, it is the stupidest, most useless complaint because it's like, dude, like your job is cool and I understand. I love my job, obviously, but like my armor, man, I was dying. I was like, I couldn't do it after a while. Anyways, that's all I got.
Yeah, I got nothing. Oh, did I ratless Liverpool yet? I don't think I did. They fucking lost this weekend. And they are in a title race with Arsenal and Manchester City. They had fallen to third 2 weeks ago on Easter. They had complete control of their own destiny. All they had to do was win the rest of their games. And now they have no control. They have failed. It's Klopp's last season as manager. They could have sent him off with a league title. No. Instead, they lost to fucking cooked. Crystal Palace.
How many games are in the
38
season? Oh, yeah. You guys still have a chance. You're not dead.
Here's the thing. They've had a chance in years past. And even if they win all the games, you bet Pep, that rat fuck Pep, is going to win all of his games.
Fair enough.
I've seen it too many. This would be the third time.
Who does Man City have on their schedule, though? Like, do they got?
I think their schedule is pretty Mickey Mouse, to be honest with you.
Schedule. Let's take
a look. Not that any schedule is more Mickey Mouse than the rest because they play each team twice.
Maybe they got Brentford. Maybe you get lucky. They are they're playing Brighton, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, Spurs, West Ham. Yeah, you're fucked.
You're cooked. Done. Yeah, sorry. They fucked it up.
Yeah, you're done. Sorry, buddy. See you later. Brentford's gonna avoid relegation though. Knock on wood. Hopefully they're giving themselves a little space. We're rooting for very different things here, Sam. yeah, they've got a nice little seven point lead on the. Anyways,
terrible, man.
We can wrap it there. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Make sure to leave a like, subscribe to the How About Them Celtics YouTube channel. We're going to be dropping videos for the entire playoffs, just like we've been for the entire fucking season. So you might as well tune in. We appreciate you very much. Leave a like, subscribe to How About Them Celtics. Check us out on podcast platforms. Follow us there. Leave us 5 stars and a review. And I'll let Sam wrap it up.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening or watching. If you're watching, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of our daily uploads. We're coming at you with pods Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Game recaps the morning after. Other videos in between. And we're live for Talking C's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. Celts of the Roundtable is Tuesday around 6 p.m. And we have pregame before each game, half hour before. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple, like Jack mentioned. If you follow us there, you'll get the full pods and game recaps to your feed directly. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple, and we would appreciate that very much. You can email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com. That is the way to get in touch with us. Be like RJ. Send us your thoughts on the team. Send us your rat list. We love to hear from you, so definitely reach out. Socials are at How About Them C's for Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Our Facebook page is just the name of the podcast. I believe we are just around 1,000 likes, which is pretty good. You can also find our streams there and on YouTube and also on Twitter. Jack's Twitter is at JacksMoneNBA. Mine is at Sam LaFrance NBA. That's it for us. Bye.
Tic-tac-o. Come on. Tic-tac-o.